Can you hear me, Mary?
Yes.
Okay, the monthly financial statement is as the report reads. The only thing that I need to highlight is one budget change, which was the asphalt footpath replacements has been reallocated to the Longford Rec landscaping, and that was an amount of $50,000.
Mary, Councillor Adams, I'll move the recommendation.
Yes, you're moving the
Yes.
A seconder?
Councillor Goss.
Councillor Folly. Councillor Folly seconded. Any comments? Questions? I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? Carry. Okay, Court 2, the pandemic response summary.
Again, Mary, it's just as per the report. It is really just a situation summary what's been happening for the last month and a half. There's nothing really there to report.
Councillor Ginnan and Councillor Lambert seconding.
Have a question?
All those in favour?
Anyone?
Oh, any questions?
Have a question?
Yeah, Councillor Lambert?
No, sorry, I thought we were voting.
Adams?
Councillor Adams?
I just wanted to make sure that we get this on the record, that Council's responsibilities and obligations underneath the Emergency Management Act and the Northern Midlands Emergency Management Plan has been met.
Yes, they have.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? Carry. Court 3, the COVID-19 pandemic community recovery and care package.
Again, Mary, as per the report, the state government has indicated through addresses in Parliament and legislation that there is an expectation that local government will assist in addressing the burden on communities triggered by COVID-19. The LGAT have suggested a community recovery package, which is highlighted in the report on page 54, highlighted in grey. And then the following section is some alterations that are recommended or suggested that the Northern Midlands Council tweak that LGAT policy. Quite happy to take questions or go through each one depending on what you would like. The overall cost to council would be $1.1 million. Or approximately 10% of council's rate revenue for next year.
Any questions? Councillor Polly? You're muted still?
No, that's all.
No, now you're right.
Well, you have the control there. You're the one speaking, turning it on and off. I endorse report, and look, the only thing I add that anything that we do should be on the basis of need and assessed on the basis of need, and that we just don't have a blanket decision that's just going to give people relief if they don't deserve it. So the main thing is most help should go to the ones who have the greatest need.
Does someone wish to move the recommendation?
Sorry, Madam Mayor. There's probably a couple of items that need further discussion. And these are just a couple that I can recall that discussed through the workshop process. With regards to on page 68, third dot point down, the licence holiday to be for grant, holiday be granted for Lake Leith and Toombs Lake. Does council wish to proceed with that? If they do, how many weeks are involved?
It really depends how long it's going to be. They're going to be without us. That's hard to know at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, but the question I would also put to council, there's a number of other people that probably can't attend other residential properties within our area, and we won't be limiting their rights. So I suppose that's a bit of a dilemma where council needs to obviously make consider, you know, what its position is.
I guess, Councillor Adams?
Yes, Councillor Adams and Councillor Calvert.
Yes, I guess what the gentleman just said, that all the people that own shacks on the coast and lakes or whatever are not going to get a rate redemption from their councils. That's got to be some consideration in this. If there's hardship, well, okay, let's give it some consideration. But having a blanket process is probably very generous in real terms.
Councillor Brooks?
Yeah, but given that we've actually closed the road in there, I think it would be prudent to work out some sort of remission refund for their for the fees they've been charged. I'm not sure as to how many weeks it will go on for, so I'm not real sure what figure to put on it.
Councillor Davis?
I've got a couple of comments, but to go to Councillor Brooks there, if the road's closed when they're not supposed to be there anyway, then there's no need for a rate remission. These are not primary residential properties. I'm concerned about the list of things in the agenda. I'm not prepared to vote on it as it stands, because there's a number in there that I've got real concerns about. I wouldn't be happy with any rate remission on the properties up there or anywhere else if they're, you know, shacks basically. And I think we need to look at these items in a lot more detail than what we're being... If there is a second for the motion, I didn't even hear a second for the motion, than what we'd be being offered with the option of that motion put as it is. So I'm not comfortable with any of that.
Councillor Calvert?
Yes.
You're still muted. Thank you.
Now, yep.
I agree. I don't think there ought to be any remission on the Lake Leith situation. I think we're talking about a lot of money at any rate. The one that really concerns me is this $25,000 community grant thing, just which the Launceston City Council has sort of embarked on. I just think it's flawed, that system. I think we've got to come up with a better idea than that. It just turns it into a competition, and I don't think that's achieving the goal.
Madam Mayor, comment to that. I think you would have seen some emails going around, and the Business Association has put forward a suggestion, and perhaps Councillor Gunnan can actually add to this, about the opportunity of looking at perhaps seeking a further report on the $25,000 to see if there's a way to move forward by actually looking at one project that would cover the whole area and allow everybody to perhaps get a benefit from it, looking at one online facility, one website.
Yeah. Well, I did have a look at that, General Manager. I had a look at that website and things this afternoon, and honestly, I thought...
Point of order, Mayor. Do we have a seconder for the motion in the papers?
We haven't moved the motion yet.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right.
It's a discussion.
So, I had a look on the website that the Business Association was suggesting, and I thought it was very, very flowery, not much done to it, I didn't think. I think we need to come up with a better suggestion than that, what I saw anyway.
And perhaps further suggestion, Council, would be that perhaps Council may wish to seek a further report on that item if they wish to.
Yeah. Yeah.
Councillor Davis, then we need a mover and a seconder for that motion or something different.
We're coming back to a comment, as we're still in discussion, coming back to General Manager's comment about that Northern Midlands proposal. I looked at it, I looked at, as Councillor Calvert did, I had a bit of a sniff around and thought, it's not clear to me what the money would be used for, because read to me as though that was being presented free of charge, and yet the business committee, with the business council's asking for us to give them $25,000. I'll come back to the point that I made at the workshop last week. As far as I'm concerned, it is not council's remit to be providing support on a selective basis. It should be for things that are for the ratepayers in their entirety. If we adopt the legat hardship policy, then anybody's got a hardship can apply for an exemption on that basis. But making some of these decisions, I think, is the wrong thing for us to do.
Councillor Gannon.
I'd just like to comment on that Northern Midlands Business Association concept. I personally would like to see the general manager and others just do a further report for the next meeting, because I don't agree with Councillor Calvert. It's not flowery. It has got a lot of legs. It is just like a physical mall, like you see at King's Meadows, all the shops in there. This offers the businesses, all businesses in the municipality, to have one of those shops and to advertise their wares. The mall itself is already set up and ready to go. And if you've been watching television lately, you'd see Shop in Tas on the television a lot with various ads. They're prepared, as mentioned in the proposal, to do advertisements promoting the Northern Midlands area and to promote separate businesses as well. Businesses without a presence at the moment, it would give them that presence, and businesses that have got a presence at the moment could be included on there, and people could go into the mall and then onto the various websites as well. The product's already set up. We looked at, the Business Association originally looked at setting up their own product and doing all the work, but this is a product that's already there, but it's already got the largest advertising agency in the state that does advertising, both television, radio, newspaper, etc. behind it. So anyone that's on that, in that site, will get assistance and get adverts through the different medias as well. So the benefit is far greater than the $25,000. But I got to put the whole thing together in a hurry last Friday and met with them, and I would just like the general manager or whoever to meet with the organisation just to flesh it out a bit more for council. Whilst I don't think it's kind of our job to be doing a lot of that, I believe that we'll go into one of the worst recessions we've seen, and I believe that a product like this digitally, as other businesses have found, will enhance their business, and it's something that, if it's given to them free of charge for 6 months, they then can look at the benefits they got and whether they want to pursue it further or not. And I think great exposure for the Northern Midlands area.
Yeah, I'm just trying to move forward. Mayor, I just don't know whether we start from each item at once and move each item and then go to the next one, because it feels like I think there's other things in here too that councillors might have something to say about. So if we go through one point at a time and move those, and I'm quite happy to have a recommendation, I suppose. I don't know how to number it, but I'm going to, on page 67, the big top headings, Global Government, COVID-19 Community Recovery Package. I'm quite happy to move that. And the next one, about the Rate Commission, except for those group of people there, I'm quite happy to move that one as well. And so I call that number 2 point, so number 1 point and number 2 point. And I'm happy to move number 3 point, which is after the 1st of April, no interest will be imposed on current rates.
I'm not following, Richard. I can't see what
you're saying. You take one at a time, Richard.
Okay.
The first 3 points.
Good point. Okay, so I move the motion that we take on the Global Government COVID-19 Recovery Package, which is the first section.
We've included the next section and the following
documents. Only doing one section at a time, Madam Mayor. Just to save confusion.
Yeah. Okay. One at a time. The first one, the Community Recovery Package, suggested by Legat.
We'll move that first.
Yes, happy to move that.
Can I just ask a question? Question? Do I have a second of those?
I'll second it.
Oh, and then a question? Councillor Davis is seconding. Councillor Lambert.
Sorry, I thought it had been seconded. Did we discuss at some point, was one of these, were we looking at going to September rather than July, June, as discussed in a meeting, or is that further along?
That'll be further along.
Further along, sorry, my mistake. Thank you.
Okay, I'll put that first recommendation, all those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Now, Councillor Goss, were you still moving the second one?
I'm moving the second one now, that in addition to the above, it is suggested all grouping out for the following provisions. I'm quite happy to move that one as well.
That is a...
Do we have a second up?
That's a remission for 4 months. So the first instalment of their rates for the 2021 year for commercial and sport and recreation general rate categories, except for those businesses highlighted below.
Have I had a seconder?
I'll second, please. Councillor Adams.
Councillor Adams. Yes. Any discussion on that point? Okay, I'll put that recommendation for the second section. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Anyone against?
I am.
That second section's carried. Beg your pardon, Councillor Davis?
I was against.
Okay, Councillor Davis is against. I just had a notification come up on my screen that my internet connection is maybe disconnected. So if you lose me, Councillor Goss will take over. Hope that's all right, Councillor Goss.
That's fine, yeah.
Okay.
Can I please move the third item?
That recommends.
After the 1st of April, no interest yep. imposed on current rates outstanding and no outstanding rates and charges or accounts deferred to legal recovery until the 30th September.
Okay. Do I have a second up?
A second.
Councillor Ginninnan, any discussion?
Can I just clarify that is where Councillor Lambert asked the question about where we differ from the LGAT. LGAT was to the 30th of June, and we're suggesting the 30th of September.
No further questions. I'll put that recommendation. All those, Councillor Davis?
So I want to be really clear about this. We're saying that we won't take any action against outstanding rates situations before this happened. So if somebody's got a rate set, you know, from last year or the year before or the year before, and we've got a process in train, we're saying we're not going to continue that. Is that what we're saying?
Yes.
Ms. Brechtel?
Yes, that's correct, yes.
I don't agree with that. Vote on it.
Just put a vote and we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Okay, I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Councillor Calvert, Councillor Davis, and somebody in the council
Polly.
Room.
Polly.
Councillor Polly, not you. And okay. Councillor Brooks, sorry. And was there somebody around the council table against?
No. It's four against.
No? Right. Was the motion... Motion's carried.
Okay, so the next
Does
one...
Does anyone want to keep You're moving any of these points? Or we take out the next one?
I'm happy to move. I will move the next item, but I've got a question on that though. That's about the lease holiday granted for sporting clubs, community groups, using county council or recreation facilities. I'd like to move it.
We've missed a couple.
Can I just add there, sporting clubs, community groups and tenants, which will include our things like Classwood at Ross, that tourism business, and the caravan parks, that sort of thing. So tenants as well.
Okay.
I just have a question.
I'm moving around the section.
I have a question, Madam Mayor, about it. It says that it's a lease holiday be granted. A lease holiday be granted for sporting clubs. Does that mean that they don't have to pay any rates for that time, or does that mean that they get rates? They're going to pay it later on down the track.
No lease.
Thank you.
I can't hear Marie.
It means no lease.
Can you repeat that, please?
It means no lease.
Again, please.
It means no lease for that period.
Okay. We have a mover and a seconder for that dot point.
Yes, Councillor Goss and Councillor Ganinan moved and seconded.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Councillor Davis. Carried. Now, are we taking out the Lake Leek and Toombs Lake dot point?
I'm moving motion, we do.
I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favour?
No. Oh, I break the Leek.
To take it out?
Yes.
Yep.
To take it out.
Yeah,
okay. Anyone against taking it out? Okay, it's carried. We don't have that dot point. Councillor Brooks.
What's Councillor Brooks we see against?
Well, give it a chance.
You're muted, Councillor Brooks.
Yeah, I was against taking it out.
Okay. Got that, Ms. Aitcher?
Yep.
The next one is the Council adopt the Legat financial hardship assistance model policy as attached.
Happy to move.
Councillor Davis is moving.
Seconded.
Councillor Brooks is seconding. Any discussion? Councillor Goss?
Yeah, yes, I think that we are going to have some people in our community who will have hardship, and I think we need to support them as strongly as best we can. And to have that model put forward by Felgat is really important for us to do that, because we have got people out there now who are hurting, and I reckon in the future we're going to have more people hurting as well. So I think it's really important to have that, and I think it's a good thing that we're doing that. Thank you.
Did you wish to make comment, Ms. Britmore?
Oh, I was just going to say it's subject to change, because I think that they're still negotiating some of the items within that policy.
Could you just add that to the motion?
Okay, a Councillor Lambert.
Will that then come back to Council for further ratification?
Yes, Madam Mayor, any changes will come back. What you would be adopting is what's there now. Any changes will come back to Council.
Okay, good. Because I'm hoping that the changes are going to be for better and not the detriment to what we've already got, because I think it's great that we've got that to fall back on.
Okay, I'll put the recommendation for that dot point. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. The next dot point, agreed that the accounts owing by clubs and organisations to the council be held over until the 30th of September.
Just to clarify that's if a football club or cricket club had an outstanding account and not operating, obviously their bars and whatever, that we won't be pursuing that debt until the 30th of September.
I so move. I'll move.
Second, Arthur Polly. Councillor Lambert.
I'll second. Yeah.
Any further discussion?
I'll put that recommendation. I have the same comment, Mayor, I made before, and that's clarity
if these are outstanding debts from prior to the COVID-19, so they've already had the income on in but they haven't paid the debt, I'm uncomfortable that we're giving them remissions on it.
It's not a remission, I don't believe.
Well, I'm uncomfortable that we're dealing with it in the way that we're dealing with it.
Madam Mayor,
I'll put the recommendation on. Sorry, General Manager.
Madam Mayor, all we're here is endeavouring to provide some support for the local clubs. A number of them wouldn't have actually started getting money in. We are dealing with a couple at the moment that do have outstanding debts, and they do not have the funds to actually to pay up now, if I can put it that way.
So we have hardship provisions that they can claim under, don't we?
Put the motion.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
Councillor Davis? Carried. The next one is to expand the special event annual grant program to $75,000. Do you wish to speak to it?
I'll move.
Councillor Polly, can I have a seconder?
Yes.
Councillor Ganinan. Any discussion?
Councillor Goss.
Councillor Goss.
Just a question for the officer is that if we're going to expand the allocation, is that we're going to make more money available to, at the moment, I think the limit is $1,660 for special events, if they're existing ones? Is it going to mean we've got a higher allocation, or is it going to mean that there's just going to be more people applying for it?
I understand that we would have to come back and adjust the criteria, and then we may need to. We haven't had a lot of applications this year, obviously because of the uncertainty, so we'd have to go back to those people once we've changed that criteria.
So,
Councillor Calvert.
So, what are we expanding it from? What are we expanding it from? $275,000.
It was $66,000 last year.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Councillor Davis.
Somebody who's organising events as part of my day life, I can assure you, I'm not looking at any in the next 12 months, and I'm unclear. And it came up in an earlier comment about what we're actually agreeing to. If it were my preference, I'd like to see a more detailed proposal come back. Are we looking at increases in the amount that you can apply for, or simply an increase in the overall sum?
At this stage, we're just looking for an increase in the overall funds so that then we can come back and bring the criteria for that allocation, those allocations back to council to massage a little bit.
Well, then on that basis, the wording doesn't support that. It just says increase, it doesn't say come back. It doesn't say any review of the criteria, so I would be opposed to it as it stands.
It does say through the recovery phase.
Yeah, but
Councillor Lambert.
And if we're not... Oh, am I on? Yes. If we're not expending all of those funds due to the fact that some groups aren't able to get events going because of the fact that, you know, we're in a recovery phase, are we going to hold those excess funds over for the following year so other people can access it when they are in a position to be able to put on a new event or an event that they've had in the past? It just seems, I'd like to see that put in there as well. So maybe we do need to have a bit more of a look at that one and how we're going to deal with that one. But are we going to carry the funds over? It's probably the first question.
No, normally each year is an allocation stands on its own, so we're suggesting that we allocate $75,000 on the hope that events will be able to be run, you know, in 6 months' time. But if it doesn't, those funds would need to be reallocated by council at the CG budget review or...
to the following year.
Yeah, or put off to the following year.
Councillor Lambert.
So we are saying then that we can move those funds over to the following year if they're not being used. Is that what you said, Ms. Bricknell?
Normally, the grant funds, if they're not used, then they're not carried over. But given the situation, if we made an allocation of $75,000 this year and we spent $20,000, then I'm sure Council, in its wisdom, would allocate another $75,000 next year.
I would like to also see that the extra go over as well, because I think we don't really know what's ahead of us in the next 12 months. And I think that getting big events up by the end of this year for some group may not happen. I don't think it's going to happen. I'd be very surprised if we have a lot of events happening at the end of this year. I'd like to put, maybe when you come back with the criteria, maybe if we could have a look at being able to carry that money over again, because we are going into 2021, so we will be by centenary years for some of those areas, so maybe that's an opportunity and an avenue, if we can't get events up this year, for some groups to look at events, bigger events for next year.
I guess all I can say is that all I can say is that each year Council allocated its budget. This year we're suggesting $75,000, but you know, if the situation changes by this time next year, you might allocate a different amount, a higher amount even.
I thought you had your hand up, Councillor Calvert. Okay, Councillor Polly.
Basically, we should do what's left over, we're going to take it to the melting pot, then we determine what our priorities are. And it may well be the priority next year, maybe to give $100,000, or it may not be given any addition. So if the money's not all used this year, it just goes back into the melting pot. When we do our budget, we can allocate again. And there may be other issues we'll have next year. So I think we usually do this every year anyway.
Yep.
I don't know, you need to tie it in advance.
Councillor Davis.
I'll come back to my point. I can't see too many people. We've been undersubscribed off Bristol's child, so I can't see too many people coming forward in the next little while, because even booking venues is challenging at the moment. If we have funds to put aside for events, then I'd like to see them. If we have, and I'm not agreeing that we should, I'd like to see them dedicated to Council using them for the bicentennial celebration.
Councillor Goss.
Only just one point. I didn't think of what the discussion has been happening, and that is that there is some the time constraints are a little bit restrictive. For example, the budget this ends in March, so if the new event happening, that's March time's already expired. The next time to apply for the funding is I think it might be October, is that right?
No, September.
August, September. You know, I just wondered whether the officers could look at maybe extending that out, that time frame, so that, because if the restrictions are lifted in December, then people might want to have a meeting in January, but they can't do it because the funding time has ceased. So if officers could probably look at maybe extending the time frame, and I'm sure the rest will sort itself out. But the time frame at the moment which you've got is probably pretty limiting for people that want to access those funds when those restrictions get lifted.
Yeah. And we could add an extra round too, instead of having just a round one and round two, we'd have extra round three.
Madam Mayor, perhaps we just add an extra sentence that a further report be presented on the criteria and the possibility of additional funding.
Good idea.
Just add that, and that way
okay.
Supporting the funds, but you need more information.
Yeah.
Okay, I've forgotten now. Have we got a mover and a second already?
Yes, we do. Councillor, it's at
okay, Polly, I'll put that recommendation.
Oh, are we putting it with Des's amendment or without?
Yes. Is that okay for the mover and seconder?
Yes. Yep.
I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Anyone against? Carried. The next dot point is the further allocation of $25,000 for a community grant program, which will help support business innovation.
I'd
just like to move that we look for a further report on that for the next council meeting. As I said, a lot of information was done late on this, and I don't think full information has been supplied.
I'll second that.
Thank you.
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? Would that recommend... Sorry, Councillor Calvert?
The only comment I'd make is when you come back with a report on that, it doesn't turn into a competition. I mean, $25,000 spent amongst the businesses throughout a municipality will go nowhere. And I'm really concerned that some will get it, some won't. No. And that's, I just think that's not a good precedent to set. But anyway, I'm happy to go with Ms. Singh a further report. But it won't be better than what I saw today.
And General Manager, is that likely to include the Northern Midlands Business Association proposal?
I believe initial suggestions come from that area. I think we should, and we obviously provide additional information so that ensure the council makes an informed decision.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye.
Against?
Aye.
I'm going to go against
it. Councillor Davis and Councillor Calvert, recommendations carried. The next one is working with aged care services and disability service providers. Does anyone wish to speak to it from the council first?
I'm quite happy to move that, Madam Mayor.
Second.
Councillor Goss.
Councillor Calvert seconding.
Councillor Adams. What does that...
Any discussion?
Yes. Councillor Adams, what does that actually mean in council terms, in allocation of resources, etc.?
I guess just a couple of examples is that to endorse council's actions for delivering Meals on Wheels at the Campbelltown area where the aged care facility wasn't able to do that because of the restrictions that they're in lockdown. And another example is assisting Helping Hand VAs with the seasonal workers and to make sure that they're assisted with food supplies and warm clothing and that sort of thing. So it's really a liaison role connecting the dots together.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Anyone against? Carried. The next one is that we settle creditor invoices within a maximum of 10 days or sooner.
So moved.
Calvert?
Move it.
Second.
I'm sorry, I don't know who said it first. I think Councillor Lambert. Councillor Foley?
I'll second it.
Oh, all right. Any discussion?
Councillor Adams.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation.
Councillor Adams.
Aye.
Councillor Adams.
Okay.
Councillor Adams.
Are you the speaker?
Yes.
Sorry, Councillor Adams was endeavouring to provide comment or ask a question.
Okay, yes, I didn't see his hand. Sorry.
Okay.
Councillor Adams.
Okay, thank you, Mayor. I wanted to know what this would mean to Council's cash flow, etc., etc.
What's
the
et cetera, mate?
I just can make one comment. You might need to bring
more. I'll comment on your stuff too, Jan, okay?
Ms. Bricknell.
Speak up a little bit.
I just made one comment that we're actually endeavouring to do that at this stage, and we've adjusted our cash flow so that we can afford to do that, just meaning that we hold a little bit more money out of term deposits. So it will cost council a little bit in interest, but not a great deal.
Okay, I'll put The next dot point is that we model our budget on 0% increase in general rate. Councillor Ginninnis.
Second that.
Councillor Goss is seconding. Any discussion?
Just speaking to this.
Councillor Goss.
Oh, sorry. Thanks, Madam Mayor. Just speaking to this. In our community, we have got people which are suffering at the moment, as I spoke about earlier, and it's going to get worse, and it's really important we keep to this and keep our costs down as much as we possibly can, and support the people in our community, because there is hardship out there, and I believe the hardship will actually get worse for some people, unfortunately, and there's some way we can support them, everybody across the community.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Anyone against? Carried. The next dot point is suspend any increase in planning on building fees and a fee holiday for health licensing fees for a period of 6 months.
So moved. I'll move. I'll
second up. Councillor Calvert seconding. Any discussion? Councillor Goss.
Yeah, only that there's a section on meme there which is, talks about the mobile food vans. I wondered, they seem to be engaged a lot around the community compared to other public health activities like the restaurants who can't open at all. I just wonder whether the food van and mobile van should be included in it. So that's up for the mover and seconder to make an amendment if they'd like to make that.
Oh, I think it's pretty insignificant, really.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Anyone against? Carried. The next one is to await more details on the option for relaxation of the depreciation requirements.
Well, just note that, don't we? Yeah.
Noted.
That's noted?
Noted.
Okay. And implement an accelerated capital works program by adjusting the capital projects.
Noted. We've done it already.
What?
Yeah. We note that as well.
Noted?
Yes, yeah, noted.
Okay. Right, we can move on.
Yep.
The draft capital works program for next year. Do you want to speak to it, Ms. Bricknell?
Madam Mayor, I don't know if there's much more to add. I think it's just a matter of noting that at this stage. And I think
I'll move
that
be noted.
Because we need to await the operational budget.
The Senator?
Yes.
Councillor Calvert? OK, I'll put that recommendation. All those in
favour? Councillor Goss?
Oh, yes.
Councillor
Boss.
I don't know if it's an oversight, I'm not too sure, but I've got a couple of questions about a couple of things. Sorry about that. Just about the main street of Campbelltown, we've got a, that's in the budget, $740,000. But to do that, they're going to defer it to later on. But I thought we were waiting to see if we got any funding from outside sources before we were going to okay that. So does that mean we're okaying it, or does it mean that it's going to be moved on?
It just means that it's going to be deferred until we find out the outcome for grant funding. Okay. However, we did put, I think it was $150,000 in for Queen Street, angle parking, because we thought...
Excuse me, Ms. Bricklow, you're very hard to hear.
Because we thought that that could be done, or should be done, before the main street is completed. So it gives the people somewhere to park when we are doing the main street.
Thank you. Also, the I'm looking at the fleet item. It's got for I think it might be right on mower. Drawing a line across. It says that the mower for ride on $40,000, but it hasn't been flitted over into the yellow column. Is that going to be deferred?
Not at this stage, but it may be. just depends on whether...
That's why it's not over there. Yes. It's going to be made better. Yeah. Okay. I just wonder why that was missing. It's the only question that I actually had. Thank you, sir.
Now, David.
I'm sorry, I'm struggling with all these papers here at the moment. It wasn't clear to me in the proposal whether the... I'm coming back to the Campbelltown Main Street, whether that was being prioritised over the Perth Main Street project. I might have missed it, but I couldn't see the funding for the Perth Main Street project.
The Perth Main Street project is there under roads. I'm sorry, I haven't got it in front of me.
Give me a page, Marie. Can you point me to the page?
If you go to page 99 in the attachments, and you'll see if on the first page in the road section, which is the first section, there's a bypass. It says Perth bypass and associated works, and then it's got Perth Main Street program and an amount of $221,500. And then underneath that, which is all part of the Perth Main Street, is the Yule Main Road upgrade or curb and channel. And then Seacombe Street connection with Manuka Drive. And then we've got Yule Road. There's another small section there on Yule Road. And then we've got Drummond Street improvements. And the entrance to the roundabouts. And there's also some funding from the Perth Main Street that's funding the Talisker Street toilets and the train park and the William Street Reserve Bridge.
So, my question is, that's in the road section, and a lot of that is not Perth Main Street. It's areas in Perth, but not the main street. Where's the funding for work other than actually roads? So, you know, upgrade of tree planting or, you know, those sorts of things. It's not clear to me that I could see that anywhere. All I can see is the road funding, most of which is not the main road.
Yeah, funding is coming from state growth. But at the moment, there's $221,500 not allocated, which would be for your trees and outstands and those sort of things. Whatever comes up. So that's still unallocated with doing all the other jobs.
Okay.
And that is a priority over Campbelltown, because Campbelltown has been deferred until the next financial year. Unless we get grant funding.
I have a question for the officer. I wondered, I don't know if it was in here, but the connection of Seacombe Street to the new roundabouts, is that in there?
Yes, that was in that same section.
It's in the same section.
And it's called Seacombe Street and connection to Manuka Drive.
Is that street called Manuka Drive?
Yes. $200,000 has been allocated.
Yes, thank you.
Were you wishing to speak, Councillor Calvert?
No, sorry.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All of it in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Court 5, the Lamentation, new name for S Road Perth.
I move the recommendation.
I'll second it.
Councillor Calvert had his hand up first. You'll have to second, Mr. Councillor Polly.
No, I don't mind. As long as we move on.
Any discussion? Good, I can put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
I'll second that.
I'll second
that. I didn't see what was being moved. Standing.
Okay.
Okay. Councillor Lambert seconding it. I'll put the recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye. No.
Okay. Carry. We need to go through the public question statements. Two of them.
Point of order. We missed question time.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yes, that's now.
Oh, I thought you were. Well, what did we just move then?
You moved that we go into planning, which is fine, but we need to bring up the public questions first.
Sorry, Madam Mayor, we had a statement that's not relating to planning.
Yes, but isn't there two statements in for public question time?
No, there's one.
Just the one. You wish me to read it out?
One from Lisa.
Well, we're in planning.
Yeah, I've got one, yes, please. Yes. Yeah.
Well, perhaps we need to, we're out in planning now, we need to complete planning and then we can go back to public questions.
Okay, all right. Yep. Statements in regarding to planning one.
Yes, there is one. It's from Peter Thompson, the project manager for Tasmania Police. Says the Tasmanian government has committed $5 million for the construction of the new police station that will provide the Longford and Greater Northern Midlands Council community with contemporary policing and public safety services for many years to come. It is anticipated that the new Longford Police Station will become the new divisional headquarters, being centrally located within all three local government boundaries. The current Longford Police Station was built in the 1970s and has been assessed as unsuitable for further development. The new station proposal will allow the current station to remain fully staffed and operational, with the staff decanted into the new building once complete. The Department of Police, Fire and Emergency Management note and support the recommendation for approval with the associated conditions and are happy to work with Council to progress the project. Should you have any queries or require any additional information, please don't hesitate to contact Peter Thompson, Project Manager, Property and Procurement Services.
Are there any statements around planning two?
Yes, there are. So there are two statements for planning two. The first is from Mark Jackson. Post instruction, we firstly thank Council for making every effort to maintain a suitable level of community engagement during these times of pandemic. This statement is provided in addition to our written representation against planning application PLN 190192. The proposed development, which will sit only 30 metres from our property boundary, will not only impact us during the construction phase due to noise, dust, traffic impositions and other factors, but will then pose a significant ongoing effect to our lives due to the proximity to our block, the visual amenity and privacy impact it will have due to its size, height and location, and the failure to address or mitigate the risks that the proposed burn and building will have on our property in the event of a flooding such as the event that we experienced in 2016. We understand the proponent of PLN 0192 has a desire and, to an extent, a right to use his property within the bounds of the relevant legislation and planning schemes. However, in addition to all the concerns raised in our representation, we think it pertinent to also highlight that the proponent, in fact, owns all land that surrounds our titles, and we therefore question why he has chosen to build directly adjacent to our block when he has approximately 10 hectares of land to choose from. Adding further to this query is the basis that a large proportion of his titles are significantly more elevated than the selected location and would therefore not require the significant civil engineering work to create a berm. Finally, we would like to finish that when we made our decision to purchase the River's Edge Cafe in 2015 and convert it to our home, we did so having fallen in love with the building itself, its gardens, but also the greater surrounds, which promised a bucolic life. Since then, we have loved our benign and somewhat isolated existence, which has enabled us to live and work unencumbered. We further believe that this development will have impacts beyond our immediate concerns, in that it's unsympathetic to the nature, will have an effect on the overall character of the area and therefore impact areas of concern for the council, such as the amenities, heritage, highway and broader community. We thank council members for their time and commit our representation for their consideration. Thank you. The second statement is from the Mr. Duff Silvey, which is the property owner of Tannery Road. Statement regarding planning application 19192. Dear council members, to begin with, I appreciate the opportunity to still provide a statement despite the understandable need to conduct April council meeting electronically. Considering the number of experts consulted in order to satisfy the strict building requirements of this location, I only want to make a short comment to address the underlying issues raised in the representation, which would not be included in a typical building application, namely the impact of new residents on the lifestyle of the neighbouring properties. Firstly, we felt that rebuilding on the exact location of the existing house site didn't provide a level of seclusion and connection with the land that attracted us to the idea of settling our family here. This satisfied our need to be impacted as little as possible from existing dwellings, but allowed us to remain inside the boundaries of the existing building site. By settling the building back, we were also able to hide the property better behind the hedgerow and existing shrubbery to passing traffic, but also increase the distance from the neighbours. We would also still be able to keep the majority of the new dwelling hidden from the taller neighbouring property at 38 Tannery Road by the trees running along their border. All that we want to emphasise here is that our goal is to live a more sustainable and secluded lifestyle. Rather than building a house out of a catalogue, we've employed experts to ensure that we're not only complying with building code, but are doing so in a way that allows us to be impacted as little as possible from the properties around us. This has a consequence of therefore having as little impact on them as possible as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Planning 3, is there any statement?
There is. There is a planning statement from Julian Gary Swinton from 40 Marlborough Street, Longford. Despite amendments to the building's streetscape, the bulk and scale of the proposed building has not changed. It retains a floor area of over 31 squares, with over 5.5 squares of porches and decks, by building to within 1.2 metres of the rear boundary of the 611 metre square block. Self-evidently, the building remains large, bulky and incompatible with the area of its neighbours. See photographs at 1-324 to 1-327. It will obliterate views and rule spaciousness. It overbears its block and the entire street. The Heritage Advisor has produced two reports. The first, dated 26/8/2019, should be referenced. He observed, the proposal does not reflect the existing building stock and significantly diminishes the ability to read that stock as a whole and its place in the landscape, resulting in an adverse impact on the heritage qualities of the streetscape and the precinct. The proposal is unsympathetic to the character and layout of the lots in the area and immediately adjacent. The immediately adjacent properties will lose their original context of space between buildings and vistas between, resulting in a loss of historic heritage significance at an urban scale. His comments are perfectly true. The proposal is totally at odds with the concept of the precinct, that it could never have been in contemplation. It offends the very essence of a heritage precinct. His second report is dated 3rd, 2020. He finds the amendments acceptable. We disagree. Firstly, his comments as reproduced above are as applicable to the new proposal as they were to the earlier. Secondly, his report adopts a very narrow focus, primarily upon the streetscape amendments. This is not a mere streetscape issue. The visual impacts of the apparent scale, bulk and proportions of the dwelling and their compatibility with adjoining lots and more generally are equally important. All the legislation mandates this. The Heritage Code, Tasmanian Planning Scheme Provisions at C6.7.3P1.1 and Local Planning Directive 4.1. These provisions should be given their full operation. We cannot imagine that the efforts which produce the plans for a heritage precinct would have contemplated a building of the height and scale currently proposed, no matter what the streetscape. To allow exceptions like this one, so non-conformist, is to set a precedent that destroys these values. The exception will destroy the rule.
you very much. I think they took up their full 3 minutes. There were a few for planning four.
Yes. The first is from 60Y, which is the applicant for the proposal, which is a statement in favour of the recommendation. The proposed subdivision has been designed to accord with the requirements of the Council's planning scheme. We note that 5 representations have been received. In determining whether to issue a permit, Council's planning authority has an obligation to consider the issues raised in the representations, but only insofar as each issue is relevant to the discretions being exercised. We have given our own consideration to the issues raised. No changes to the application are considered to be required to provide compliance with the performance criteria which give rise to the discretions being exercised. The subdivision involves 5 residential lots ranging between 4,019 metres squared and 5,792 metres squared, and a balanced lot of 2.235 hectares, which will contain the existing development on the property. Each lot is significantly larger than the 800 metres square minimum lot size for the village zone. Additionally, the lot sizes and the width of the bushfire hazard management areas identified in the application ensures that future dwellings will be set back more than the 3 metre minimum required from side and rear boundaries. There is no standard in the planning scheme which requires minimisation of the lot number of lot minimisation of the number of lot boundaries that will be shared with the rural resource zone land to the north. The 3 lots that will share a boundary with this land will have a minimum depth of 119.95 metres. This aspect of the subdivision ensures that future dwellings on these lots will be capable of being located to minimise potential for land use conflict. The subdivision has sought to provide each lot with public road frontage. The number of proposed access of coach lane complies with performance criteria in clause E4.7.2P2 of the scheme. The traffic impact assessment, which accompanies the application, identifies that Coach Lane is fit for purpose as a rural access road with adequate spare capacity and its safety and efficiency will not be reduced. The provision of access to the new lots will affect the existing hawthorn hedge along the Coach Lane frontage. There are no requirements in the planning scheme or the Historic Cultural Heritage Act which provide that the hedge cannot be disturbed or removed. The application has sought approval through a performance criteria pathway in relation to the site distances to minimise the extent of the hedge that will be affected. Further retention of the hedge would be achievable by undertaking extensive trimming to lower its height. It is intended that this will occur in constructing the proposed accesses. Finally, the TIA identifies that based on low traffic volumes within Coach Lane currently, and as a result of the proposal, there is no specific requirement to widen or seal the road. However, our client have recently advised council officers they would be agreeable to making a contribution to sealing the section which adjoins their property to mitigate dust. In conclusion, having regard to the proposed lot sizes, configuration and density, partial hedge retention and the road sealing contribution, the application is considered to provide for compliance which goes beyond what the planning scheme can otherwise reasonably require. The second statement for Plan 4 is from Simon and Sue Bugh from 1005 Bishopsburn Road. Dear Mayor and Councillors, Council Meeting Agenda Item Plan 4. Thank you for notifying us that this development application, PLN 20-0002, is to be discussed during the Council Meeting of the 27th of 2020. The application has not changed, and so our objection to it similarly has not changed. Also, we would require that Council noting in its meeting that this application is not supported by any neighbourship proposal. However, we did read with interest the requests made by Council in its email dated 30th of 3rd 2020 to the owner and developers of an alternative layout for their consideration. Whilst we do not support this development application as we have previously stated, the alternative layout proposed by Council would be preferred to the existing proposal if the Council decides to proceed despite the concerns of all neighbours and approve our development. We appreciate the opportunity to contribute to this ongoing assessment. That's all of them.
That's all of them?
Yes. Good.
Okay, any statements regarding Planning 5?
Yes, for planning five, we've got one from Ashley Brooke. He's a planning consultant with 60 Degrees. They're the applicant. Statement in favour of the recommendation. The application seeks to rezone the subject land to general residential and undertake a two-lot subdivision. Whilst the site is zoned light industrial, it has historically been used for residential purposes. The Perth Structure Plan recommends that, in order to remove the potential for land use conflicts, the light industrial land in the northwest portion of the township is rezoned to enable future residential development. The proposal is consistent with the Northern Tasmania Regional Land Use Strategy. The Perth Township is identified as a satellite settlement in the regional strategy, and its existing urban area is identified within a supporting consolidation area. The proposal represents consolidation and residential infill within the settlement. The proposed subdivision is assessed as compliant with the applicable provisions in the Council's planning scheme. If the amendment is initiated as per the recommendation, this will enable the application to be placed on public exhibition and ultimately undergo a further rigorous assessment process undertaken by the Tasmanian Planning Commission.
Thank you. I didn't see any for planning six. I'm not sure if any came in.
No, we haven't seen any.
Okay, planning seven.
Yes. Planning seven is from Coralie Miller from Annie's Takeaway. Regarding proposed food van changes in Western Junction, Plan 7, Council Meeting 27th of April 2020. My name is Coralie Miller. I am the office manager of Annie's Takeaway, located in Richard Street, Western Junction. My mother, Linda Rigby, has owned and operated Annie's Takeaway since its initial construction in 2004. Since this time, we have serviced the local trades, freight, car rental and other various businesses in the area with their breakfast and lunch needs. We have employed numerous locals over this period, juniors as their first job, older individuals, and put through several trainees with their retail certificates. We are writing to you to voice our concerns over the proposed changes being considered to the way in which food vans can operate in our area. We feel the changes to restrictions on these types of businesses would have severe impact on our business. Currently, for mobile food businesses, I believe the time of operation is restricted to hours of 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. and that they are not allowed to operate on private property in the Northern Midlands Council area. Quite recently, we have had a food van parking permanently on private property in the Translink area. I'm not sure how this was allowed to operate given the current policy requirements. The current time allocation is of no concern to us. We are more than happy for food vans to park in and around Translink during these times. Should this policy be changed, I feel it would not only impact our small business in the short term, but also open the door for broader operation in the NNC area in towns such as Longford, Cressy and Campbelltown, where they too have long-serving small businesses. As this is our first issue we have had, I hope that I have addressed this correctly and that you will consider our position when making final decisions on these changes. Should you wish to contact me to discuss further, please do not hesitate to call me. Thank you. Kind regards, Coralie Miller, Annie's Takeaway.
Thank you, Mr. Goddier. Planning 8.
Yeah, planning 8. We've got from Jane Stewart, Senior Town Planner with Wilcott Surveys. They're the applicant. Good evening, councillors. Unfortunately, the current regulations prevent us from speaking in person to this item. This statement is therefore provided in support of the recommendation of Council Senior Planner Paul Goddier in relation to the application for permit extension of P17-293. As stated in the supporting documentation, we would be willing to provide a statement to Council in relation to substantial commencement of P15-270. We encourage the Council to follow the Officer's recommendation put forward in relation to this matter. If Council wishes to discuss either of these applications with us, we are happy to do so. Sincerely, Jane Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Goddier. Okay, we'll move to planning one.
I move the approval.
Councillor Foley.
Councillor Adams moved the approval.
Seconded Councillor Foley. Yes. And Councillor Foley seconded. Councillor Adams, do you wish to speak to it?
I think it's straightforward. We had some discussion on that roading issue, which is reasonably general, but I guess if they reduce, they have a problem, they'll reduce the apply to have the speed limit reduced. I'll, no, that's all I wish to say. Thank you.
Councillor Goss.
Any further discussion?
Councillor Goss.
Councillor
Goss. Yeah. My concern is the access onto the Cressy Road, or Inner Road, what they call. In the report, it says that the site's going to have traffic. The traffic report says there's going to be 200 vehicles per day coming in and out of the site, which is a significant amount. What concerns me is that if this was a if this was a general subdivision, a housing subdivision, there's no way council would let them, with 200 people coming out in the street, they would not be able to go on to Cressy Main Road. They wouldn't be able to do that. They have to go through Peel Street. But on this one, because it's, they've still got 200 people in and out per day, then they've got access onto the main street. And I think this is an oversight, and I think that they should have been encouraged to go down into, come out of Peel Street, which is an existing road. And because I know if there was a subdivision in this area for housing, then that's what they would have been expected to do. I think we should have done the same thing here. I am pleased that this site's going in there, and it's a good thing for our community, and I'm very supportive, but I don't think that the access onto the main road, Cressy Main Road, is should have been looked at a bit more detail. Thank you.
No further discussion?
Yes.
I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Carried. Planning 2, Tannery Road, Longford.
I'll move.
Councillor Polly?
I'll move the recommendation has been refused.
Councillor Calvert, are you seconding that? Any discussion? I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Anyone against? Carried. Planning 3, 42 Marlborough Street, Longford. Ms. Miles?
Oh, move the recommendation.
Yes. Councillor Adams, okay. Is that a seconder?
I'll second it.
Councillor Calvert seconding. Okay, any discussion? Okay. Did the planners want to say any, make any comments?
Not if it's not required. Application is proposed.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Anyone against? Carried. Okay. What's my place now?
Planning 4 is next.
Yep, planning 4. Sorry, I've just lost my place.
Just to speak to that, I do note Council's earlier concern regarding there not being any condition enforcing the sealing of the road, despite it being agreed to. In discussions with Mr. Goddier from the result of last meeting, I know that given it had actually already been agreed to, that there was a condition proposed at the last meeting, and that could be put on the permit if Council wished to pursue that again. This time around.
So what's the condition?
So the condition, I put it in the file. Paul's put it in the file. I'll read it to you.
Nick, can you speak up, please?
Yeah, I'll just read it to you once it's Bishop's Burn? Yeah. So the potential, if Council wish, for a condition to be placed on the permit is that before the final plan is sealed, a contribution of $17,760 must be paid toward the sealing of Coach Lane.
Am
my understanding, if I just add there, that was their request to actually put that condition on?
We put that to them and they said they'd be quite happy to have that as a condition. But they would want council to do its part of work within 12 months of their subdivision.
Speak up a bit.
I can't hear you, Dan. Sorry.
Mr. Bodia, perhaps just repeats what is.
So that was put to the applicants and they agreed to it. They just want council to do its part of the work within 12 months of them finishing their subdivision.
Councillor
Ganinan. So to ask a question for the works manager, what is the total cost to do that road? Is 17,000 half of it or a quarter of it? Or
The 17,000 would be just for their contribution in front of their subdivision. It'd also be a section now about 25,000 for council to do from the subdivision to the road to finish that section.
So the total cost is 25, or total cost is 25 plus 17? So 17. Okay. So we can put a condition on this permit, or how's that? I don't understand.
Obviously, I wasn't here at the last council meeting, so I wasn't aware that council had previously discussed to put a condition on. But because it's been agreed to by the applicant already, obviously they've already put that agreement in place. Therefore, they're unlikely to appeal that condition. It's up to council.
Councillor Goss, are you moving the recommendation?
Sorry, I was going.
I'm happy to move the recommendation, yes. I have got a question though for that.
Do I have a seconder?
I'll second with that additional item condition on there, please.
Councillor Goss.
Yes, my question is that where Coach Lane comes out onto the road, out onto the Vicious-Burn Road, if I look at the drawing of the fish photograph on page 149, it's just got a straight exit on an angle. When I look at the more sort of concept map on page 150, it's got a little bend out onto the road. So my understanding, would that mean that when they're going to come out of Coach Road, they've got to actually straighten up to look down and there'll be an island or something in the middle of the stop and just go and straight out the end? Is that what we do, Mr. McCullough?
If I could answer that, as you pull up to the intersection, you actually square yourself with Bishopburn Road.
So you're right. So, yeah, that's good. Thank you. Happy to proceed.
Any further discussion? Councillor Polly?
Yes. I just wanted to note that I can't support the recommendation. First of all, I've had nothing but I'm on the Bishopburn Hall Committee and constantly there's complaints about that intersection. But also I just wanted to be noted that I'm really, really concerned about an encroachment in the rights of farmers to be able to conduct their business as they would have done over many, many decades. Often when you find that a subdivision like this that encroaches into a small village area bordering rural land, there's constant complaints in relation to building and expansion of farming activities, spraying, etc., etc. I just wanted to note that I won't be suborning it on that principle, that on the right for people to be able to farm unhindered.
Councillor Davis.
First of all, I've actually lost track of what the recommendation is when we get to vote on it. But when we get to vote on that, I'm sure you'll remind us. I support wholeheartedly Councillor Polly's comment. We put forward a number of suggestions to the applicant about how he could better deal with that. His response regarding the fact that that would involve additional costs, to me, is not of any relevance whatsoever. This is a thin edge of the wedge one for me. I understand there's no power, there's no head of power for us to do something for that, but I certainly can't support it.
The recommendation actually has an added point. If Ms. Each would like to read that out, that Councillor Ganinan suggested.
The addition is that before the final plan is sealed, a contribution of $17,760 must be paid towards the sealing of Coach Lane. Note, Northern Midlands Council agrees to complete the sealing of Coach Lane within 12 months of the completion of the subdivision.
Any further discussion? I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against?
Aye. No.
Councillor Calvert, Councillor Polly, Councillor Davis and Councillor Lambert and Councillor Brooks are against. Motion's lost.
Sorry, who was the... It was Calvert, Polly, Davis,
Brooks and Lambert.
Calvert, Councillor Polly, Councillor Davis, Councillor Lambert and Councillor Brooks.
Thank you.
We've got good reasons here for it.
So do we need another motion, General Manager?
Yes, we do, for the reasons why motion, why council is why the claim authority is refusing the application.
Well, I think one reason could be that they haven't taken note of what our suggestions of way around this was.
Do you wish to move that as a recommendation?
Well, can we have a bit more discussion on it first, because there might be other things. Well, there would be other things. Mayor, one of my reasons, apart from the thing that I understand we don't have a head of power for, which is the issues about rural land use and encroachments on farming, to me, one of the biggest challenges there is the fact that we're being expected by an applicant to commit to doing roadworks within a very short period of time when that's not within our budget discussions at this point of time. And under the circumstances that we've spent a lot of time talking about tonight, we don't even know what our budget's going to look like next year. So the applicant's request, insistence, expectation that we commit to roadworks we have no costings on within the next 12 months is not suitable, not appropriate.
Madam Mayor, at this stage, I haven't heard any motions, any refusal reasons that are legitimate planning reasons at this stage. We need to focus on the planning scheme. Perhaps the officers can provide some comments there. Furthermore, we also need a motion to actually refuse as well. So we need a mover and second to actually refuse.
Yeah. But let's get through what it is that we can do first. I would have thought that there's an expectation around us funding works to ensure that a developer gets a personal financial benefit would be something. I think we need a recommendation first and then we work out the reasons to add on to that. If you wish to refuse it.
Well, we haven't. We've just refused it. We've already done that, Ned.
You've got to have a motion that refuses it. I have to give the reasons.
So,
what we've got is an application to subdivide within the village zone. Subdivision provisions are clause 16.4.2. I'd suggest a ground that doesn't comply with acceptable. Clause 16.4.2A1.1.
And in English?
Which is, doesn't contain a 15 metre diameter circle with the centre of the circle not more than 15 metres from the frontage.
Oh, I like that.
So the relevant performance criteria to that acceptable solution, you will find on, I'm not sure what page it is on the, but within the planning scheme assessment, I can read it out to you. Is that the subdivision 16.4.2. So the performance criteria for that clause is that subdivision must provide for each lot sufficient usable area and dimensions to allow for a dwelling to be constructed, to be erected in accordance with the setback standards, on-site parking and manoeuvrability of domestic vehicles, and adequate private open space and vehicular access from the road to a building to the frontage of any lot, if any, and have regard to the topographical or natural features of the site, the pattern of existing road development, and the ability of vegetation to provide buffering, and any features of natural, historical, or cultural significance, and the presence of any natural hazards, and have regard to local area objectives and desired future character statements, if any. So from that, basically you could draw the reasons for refusal from that performance criteria in terms of how the development does not meet those standards.
So how far out is it? How big a circle can you put in there?
So the acceptable solution is that it can that it's got to meet those dimensional requirements. That's the corresponding performance criteria if those dimensional requirements are not met.
Right, and they've met that.
So they haven't met the acceptable solution, which is those dimensional requirements.
Yes.
The performance criteria, in my assessment, it has met those provisions, but if in your opinion it does not, you can base that on those performance criteria.
We're in for writing here.
Yeah,
so when council went back to them with their suggestions on how this might get through, was that reason you decided then pointed out to them?
I believe that was based on council's discussions from last council meeting in what they would like to see in the development.
So you're saying that that reason we may reject this wasn't put to them? Yes or no?
No, it wasn't.
No, it was a suggestion of an alternative design. It wasn't based on...
didn't take that.
Yeah.
Isn't that why they paid planning...
No, Councillor Brooks is next.
Couldn't you also use clause E47.4 with the site distance access, the reduced site distance as a safety concern, exiting the properties, that you haven't got that site distance?
So regarding that clause, they could achieve the required site distances if the full hedge was, or the full hedge requirements were removed. So there was a certain distance that had to be removed for them to achieve the full site distances. They opted to rely on the performance criteria to attempt to reduce the amount of hedge that needed to be removed.
Yep, so they can't meet that criteria though because of the extra hedge that they're leaving in there. That's correct, isn't it?
They could either meet the acceptable solution and remove more of the hedge, or rely on the performance criteria and leave more of the hedge.
We still need a recommendation to refuse. And give reasons.
Mayor, I'm happy to move the recommendation that we refuse the application.
Yeah, you've got to give reasons.
Councillor Brooks is seconding. Are we giving reasons?
Yeah, well, we have to give reasons, and we're working through what they're going to be.
I think we've only got one at the moment.
We'll need some guidance from the planning department on those reasons to beef up the reasons.
So Mr. Gaudier's suggestion was that the most relevant performance criteria or most relevant discretion is relation to clause 16.4.2, of which the development relies on the performance criteria, and that looks at matters such as whether a dwelling can be erected in accordance with the setback standards, whether it can achieve on-site parking and manoeuvrability, adequate private open space, vehicle access from the road to a building on a building area on any lot, if any, and to have regard to the topographical natural features of the site and the pattern of existing development and the ability of vegetation to provide a buffering and any features of natural, historical or cultural significance and the presence of any natural hazards, and have regard to the local area objectives and desired future character statements, if there are any. So drawing from that performance criteria, council would need to to demonstrate how it doesn't comply with that.
So, Madam Mayor, we could actually put that forward as a refusal reason, and then perhaps just move forward from there onto the next item.
Okay, well, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Against? I'm against.
Yes.
Councillor Ginnan is against, and Councillor Goss? That motion's carried. Planning 5. Napoleon Street 3rd.
Mayor, I'll move the recommendation.
Second the recommendation.
Councillor Lambert seconding. Any discussion? No. Do the officers wish to say anything?
No, it's all there as presented. Thank you.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Anyone against? Carried. Planning 6. Wellington Street, Longford.
I'm happy to put the recommendation.
Councillor Davis, do I have a seconder?
Councillor
Brooks. Any discussion?
Mayor, if you could, Councillor Adams, just, made the point that this is a very historical building. A house will go alongside it. I would hope that the heritage criteria keeps it to some sort of sympathetic form to the original building. Thank you.
Okay, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Anyone against? Carried. Planning 7.
Mayor, I would move that we reject changing the zoning in relation to the food vans.
I'll second.
Upper Davis is seconding. Any discussion? Any discussion?
Yeah.
I'll put that recommendation, and all those in favour?
Aye.
Against? Carried. Planning 5 had, and Planning 8, both had alterations to the actual recommendation. Did everyone note that? The current agenda, I think, has the correct one, but there was a note that came out that said there was some errors.
Well, we got it.
Yes, came out in email. Okay, Planning 8. Midland Highway 3rd. Councillor Brooks, Councillor Goss.
I'm happy to move the recommendation forward.
I'll second. Councillor Adams, I'll second the motion.
Yes?
The recommendation.
Any discussion?
I thought the Devon Hills people had it, were not happy with this.
Councillor Calvert. Sorry, Councillor Calvert, can you say it again?
I thought that Councillor Ginnan and Councillor Lambert spoke against this in the workshop. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Yeah. So where the service station location?
Yeah, the service.
Yeah.
I was just making that point, that's all.
Okay, Jen.
Councillor Lambert.
Oh, sorry, I thought Councillor Ginnan was speaking, sorry. I think that in regards to the Devon Hills people, we need to be mindful of the excess noise, and I think keeping the businesses closer together and further away from Devon Hills will aid in that. We've had a lot of, with the new highway going through, we've had a lot of issues with noise,
and I think that's one reason why I can't support the change. We've made a decision already as a council that we were going to not support one of these recommendations, and now they've come back and changed them. It would have been really helpful if they'd brought this information forward at the previous council meeting, if that was not their preferred site, but they didn't give us that information, so we made a decision based on the facts that were presented, and I think that given sound issues, etc., I think we made the right decision last council meeting, so I won't be supporting the change.
Councillor
Ganinan. I agree with Councillor Lambert. More suited away from Devon Hills and next to the digger operation, from a noise perspective, sight perspective, lights and other nuisance things that come, that sort of thing. I always believe there should only be one man, one should be, as I said, closer to digger than further back down the road towards Devon Hills. And quite rightly, as Councillor Lambert said, why that wasn't put to us last time, why they didn't put it to us last time and kind of asked for both of them, we knocked it back to that one, and so I believe that should stand.
Now, just to be clear, the recommendation is about the one that we did not prefer, isn't it?
That's correct.
I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Who is in favour? Councillor Goss and Councillor Adams. All those against?
Aye.
Councillor Calvert, Councillor Polly, Councillor Brooks, Councillor Davis, Councillor Lambert and Councillor Knowles. That motion's lost.
She's mine.
General Manager, we need a positive motion.
Yes, Madam Mayor, we do.
Okay, do I have a recommendation from anyone?
That the original motion from the previous meeting stands.
Correct.
Is that something we
need to do? I'm going to suggest the wording would be Council does not extend P17-293.
Which is the other one?
Yeah.
And extend the other one?
We've already done that.
Yeah, you did that at the last week. Yeah.
Right, okay. All right. Mover and a seconder for that motion.
I'm happy to move.
Councillor Davis and Councillor Adams, did you have your hand up? Councillor Lambert.
I'll
second it. Yeah, Councillor Lambert, okay. All right, I'll put that recommendation. All those in favour?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone against?
Aye.
Councillor Goss.
Adams.
And Councillor Adams. Yes? Motion's carried. Now we need to go back to the public question statement. Sorry. Councillor Ganinan.
Second.
Councillor Calvert.
Ganinan
and myself did, I think.
Yes.
At public question time.
Yes. Sorry.
No one against, that motion's carried. Now we're back to public question time.
Yes, Madam Mayor.
There were two
statements. Yeah, really, it's probably more like a statement that may require a review of the policy. The correspondence comes from Lisa Green. Can everybody hear me for a start?
Yep.
From Cressy. First of all, I would like to introduce myself. I am Lisa Green, and I have lived all my life in Cressy. And the reason I'm addressing council tonight is because an audit has been done on our lawn cemetery on Cressy Road on the 24th of February. I address this to the Mayor Mary Knowles and General Manager Jess Jennings. From my knowledge, an audit is an official inspection, not a removal of items. Council's policy needs to be looked at and bring into line with the 2020 and community expectations. Flowers are not the only thing people feel they can place on the cemetery in 2020, and policy needs to reflect that. The flower vessels either side of the headstone are inadequate, and it does not hold water and is too shallow. Therefore people are forced to use alternative holders, some of which have now been removed. Small trinkets should be allowed and kept with council approval. In saying that, it is sad to think we need approval from council. 90% of the cemetery was fine, and yes, 10% needed attention. Why could the 10% have been contacted instead of the mass culling that did happen? Perhaps a generated letter to the public to tidy up their own plots could be done next time, as not everyone reads newspapers, public notices, or internet savvy. What happens at Christmas time when families all want to place flowers, trinkets, etc., and that means more than just one or two on their loved one's resting place in the lawn cemetery or rose garden? Please, I am just asking for some understanding, compassion, care and reason on this sensitive issue. Our lawn cemetery should be a peaceful place to visit and reflect on our loved ones, not feel that we cannot honour how we feel like, how we feel. I don't feel that I can at the moment, and that is due to what I thought was a good idea. What is done cannot be undone. Please change the policy to reflect and respect how this has made people feel about our cemetery and, more importantly, our council. I thank you for listening, and I hope that we all felt on the 24th of February never happens again, and we can all move forward knowing council will change policy because of lessons learned.
Another discussion?
Well,
do I ask a question about that?
Yeah, now, what we'd be looking at, it would be actually just bringing back a report when the policy review, bring that back to council.
Thank you. Well, this is going to be advised.
Yes.
Will that happen?
Yes. Councillor Polly. When the report comes back, I've got some sympathy, but you also got to have a workplace safety report with it as well, because this has been a universal problem across all cemeteries, including one that you know had lots to do with. And so there they had a workplace safety, because you've got to understand the workers have got to mow and maintain it. So any policy should come back with an independent workplace statement, which surely we could arrange. Work safety.
Well, Madam Mayor, I think we also received a significant amount of positive response as well with regards to the tidying up of the cemeteries. The report that we bring back to council will reflect that as well.
All right, we're moving to close, Council.
I'm
going to
move. Council
Davis.
We move out of planning.
We did already.
Excellent. Thank you.
Can I have a second now?
Councillor Goss.
Councillor Davis has moved. Councillor Brooks. All those in favour?